Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for waking up early and coming to be with the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, after the Psalms and Proverbs. It's a big book. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might he increase his power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This morning I want to focus on that word wait in verse 31. And that's an interesting word. And we'll go into depth about that, but there's an interesting dynamic in Hong Kong that I'm very keenly aware of that maybe many of us who've been here for a long time maybe don't think about it, but because it's brand new to me, it's constantly on my mind. And they have said, you have said over and over again that Hong Kong is such a convenient place to live. And the public transportation is wonderful and great. And that may be the case, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I'm keenly aware that I am constantly waiting for taxis. I'm constantly waiting for buses who seem like they never come. I'm constantly waiting for public transport. I'm constantly waiting, and so I'll stand there waiting for a taxi, especially where we live right now at the beginning of Robinson Road, where it's not readily, you know, they come very often. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And the whole time I'm waiting, I'm muttering to myself, where is the convenience in this? Where is the convenience in waiting for taxis? And so even this morning, having to leave my house early, very pessimistic that I would catch a taxi, so I started walking. And it takes about 30 minutes to walk where I live, and because I didn't think that I should wait, because if I wait, I'm not going to be here on time, and you're going to have to you know, maybe preach to yourself. And so here I am in Hong Kong, keenly aware of this dynamic called waiting, because I'm always waiting. I'm waiting for a taxi. I'm waiting for a bus. And so I think for those of us who live here, we have an understanding of what it means to wait in the way that verse 31 says to wait. This word wait in the Hebrew is called kavah. And it's not waiting in the sense that you stand at a taxi stand queue in the middle of Central, and you're waiting and you're waiting, and you decide, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to wait in this queue. I'm just going to go try to catch a bus or something like that. It's not waiting in a queue and then giving up because you're like, forget it. This is not going to work. I'm late for an event. But waiting with an anticipation or an expectation that you are going to receive success. It is a waiting with a hope and a trust and understanding that you will be successful if you wait. It's sort of the imagery of maybe children waiting on Christmas morning to open up their presents, or maybe it's the same idea of waiting for a hunter who is waiting for their kill. It's that sort of imagery. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Many of us understand that in language, there's literal meanings of words and there's figurative meaning of words. And so this word wait is translated figuratively. But I want to sort of examine the literal meaning of the word kavah, to wait. But before we do that, I want to give you an example of how we take things literally and figuratively. For example, the word dead, we know the literal meaning of dead. Maybe someone you love has died and is now dead, or there's been a murder and that person is dead. But there's also a figurative meaning of dead. You know, for example, maybe your brother or sister stained your bed sheets, you know, with juice, and it won't come out, or with pen or something, and you think to yourself, oh, my brother is dead. You know, he is so dead. Or maybe he did something wrong, and you think, he's so dead. It doesn't mean that he's literally dead, but it's a figurative sense. And so what I want to look at is sort of the literal meaning of the word wait and the figurative meaning of the word wait, and sort of draw our own conclusions of what the scriptures is trying to tell us to this audience in the Old Testament when the author says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, the literal meaning of the word kavah, translated here in Isaiah 40, is the literal meaning is to bind together like a cord. To bind together like a cord. And what it does not mean is that you take a bundle of sticks and you bind those bundle of sticks together. That's not what this word means. What this word means, kavah, to wait, literally means taking the strands and of thin material and intertwining them. It's talking about the process of making a rope. This is the literal meaning of the word kavah. It's the process of taking strands and weaving them together to make a rope, by in which you strengthen that rope. And so that's the literal meaning. And obviously scholars have taken this word kavah and used the figurative meaning, which is not just waiting, but it can also be translated as hoping, and it also can be translated as trusting. But if we take the literal meaning and we take the figurative meaning and we try to understand what the author is saying, then I think we can understand better what it means to wait for the Lord and what happens when you wait on the Lord. You will gain strength. And so maybe a better translation is those who wait, those who intertwine their lives with the Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit. And as you know, the more strands that you intertwine, the stronger this rope will be. Maybe those who intertwine themselves with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, and those who trust in Him, they will definitely be renewed in strength. The more intertwined you are with God, the stronger you shall be. And then you look at the tense of that word, to wait, and it's actually an ongoing progressive tense, meaning those who continually or repeatedly hope and trust in the Lord will renew. That word renew is also progressive. And so what it's trying to say, this verse, is if you would to continually put your hope, and you've got to remember the audience who's reading this, and the Hebrew language is very visual, and so they would see this word kavah, and they would in their mind see this process of rope. And so when they say, those who kavah in the Lord, those who intertwine themselves, those who are hoping and trusting in the Lord shall continually be renewing their strength. I think it is natural for many of us to stop waiting, to quit hoping, and to quit trusting. But the scriptures and the promises saying, don't stop hoping. Keep continually hoping. Keep continually being intertwined in the Lord. Keep continually renewing your strength. This word renew is another visual word, and it symbolizes or shows that there's a changing of clothes, that there's a changing of garments, there's new clothing, that you will have new clothing, a new garment of strength if you were to continue. Those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They will have a couple types of strength. Number one, they will have inward strength. That if you hope in the Lord, you will have inward strength. For John, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That when you're in the valley, you ought to understand that the God of the mountaintops is still God in the valley. Can I get an amen? That when things are wrong, that we have a God that can make it right. That God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the daylight is still God of the nighttime. And so whether you're in a valley, whether you're in darkness, whether you're in confusion, the God of the successes and the God of the victories is still the God of your failures. The God is still God of the mountaintops. He's the same God in your valleys. Not only will you have inward strength, the Bible says you will have upward strength, that you shall mount up on wings like eagles. You will soar above your situation if you continually renew your strength. The writer uses the example of eagles, and one interesting thing about eagles is that when the winds come, and usually winds, strong winds come when there's a storm, which is very obvious to us, you know, here in Hong Kong with the typhoon and stuff. And for us, when there's winds that strong of a typhoon, we shut down our workplaces. We shut down our lives, essentially. But the interesting thing about eagles is that when these winds of these incredible strong storms come, they don't allow these storms or these winds to shut them down. They don't allow these winds to drag them down. In fact, the characteristic of an eagle is that they take these winds and they soar above the wind. And they soar higher above the wind, and they don't allow the winds to drag them down, but they allow the winds to take them higher, to take them even higher. And that's what the scripture is saying. He's saying, if you would put your hope and trust in the Lord, if you were intertwine yourself in God, an illustration is that they will mount up like wings, like eagles. Mounting up meaning taking something from a low position up to a higher position. That God will take you from a low position and mount you up to a higher position. He will elevate you from your valley into the mountaintops. That you will soar above the wing. That you will soar above the wind like wings of eagles. That you will mount up. So not only will you have inward strength, not only will you have upward strength, but you will have onward strength, the strength to move forward, to move onward, that you will run and not grow tired. There are a handful of people in this ministry that truly understands what it means to run and not grow weary. It's called runner's high. I remember I used to be a runner, and I emphasize that word used to. You know, people ask me now all the time to go on runs with them. I say, you know, I retired in 2002, but I remember beginning my running process. It's sort of a long story. It actually stemmed from anger, and I was just truly angry, and I needed to release that anger somehow, so I just did it through running. And because, you know, people told me that's the best outlet to release your stress and anger. So I said, all right. And if you're an athlete, you know, you play better when you're angry. You just have more juice. But anyways, I was the type of kid who in junior high was the chubby kid who finished second to last. And so I was not a runner. And then this thing called a runner high was just a theory, something that I read in magazines or books. I couldn't even fathom what runner's high mean. You mean to tell me you run for kilometers and miles and miles and you get a high off of that? Are you kidding me? I mean, ask 90% of the people in this room. They would look at you in disbelief. You get a high off of putting your body through torture? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But then you hit this point where you run and you feel like you can run for eternity. That you can run like Forrest Gump, run like across nations, and you feel like you have so much energy that you will never stop running and that you continually want to run. I know it's crazy. It's hard to explain. You just have to experience yourself. And maybe in that same way, when the scripture says that you will run and not grow tired, there is a truth to that. Just in the physical, as we know about this runner's high, in the spirit, if you were to intertwine yourself, to renew your strength, to hope in the Lord, to continue to wait, you will have the strength to go forward, to go onward. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. I've shared with this last time I spoke that, you know, when I was trying to run my first and only marathon, my body was shredded up. It was just in constant pain. And Isaiah 40 was the verse, practically the only verse or passage that kept me going, that allowed me to finish. Because, you know, I was saying to myself, even young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up. on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And I kept saying that to myself over and over and over again. But the key here, listen, the key is waiting on the Lord. I know in the natural, we just want the strength. But the key is to wait on the Lord. You know that waiting is not the absence of movement. Waiting is actually preparation. It's preparation to have your strength renewed. It's preparation to rise up on wings like eagles. Not long before his death, Henry Nouwen wrote a book called Sabbatical Journeys, and he talks about some friends that he met. There were actual circus flying trapeze artists. You know, they fly through the air, they throw each other, and they catch each other in the air, and there's a safety net under them. They were called the Flying Rudellas. And so when they met them, they explained that there is a very special relationship between the flyer and the catcher. You can understand. They're throwing their lives at stake. They're catching, you know, their lives are at stake. And so there's a very special relationship between the catcher and the flyer. The flyer is the one who lets go, and the catcher is the one who catches. And they said there's one important rule to save the life of the flyer that both must adhere to. And it's very simple. The catcher, the catcher catches and the flyer flies. You cannot reverse the role, because what happens is that sometimes the flyer gets so anxious in the air that he starts reaching and grabbing and catching and wanting to catch the catcher to make sure that he's safe, to make sure that there's success. But they explain that that's when disaster happens. That's when hands tangle. That's when timing is off. And that's when the flyer begins to fall to his death even sometimes. And so it's important to understand, this is the non-negotiable rule, that the flyer allows the catcher to catch him. And Henry Nouwen continues to write in his book that the flyer's job is to wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. And then he continues also to say that is a lot like our relationship with our Father, is that when we get anxious in the waiting, we begin to take matters into our own hands, and we try to catch God, and we try to say, God, I can't wait anymore, and we try to grab his hand, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that may lead to some disastrous things. That the better way is to wait in absolute trust and allow God to catch you, because he will. Remember, this idea of waiting is not waiting in line and then giving up. It is with the anticipation that God will catch you. And we know that waiting is not static in its state, that God is working behind the scenes, that he's preparing us for something, that his primary focus in his work is for us to be successful. I love Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Romans 8:24 in the Message. Waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. And so in the waiting, God is preparing us. He's creating life within us. But we've got to wait until it's full term. We've got to wait till we reach the other side for him to catch him. We can't be in the middle of our flight as a trapeze artist and begin flailing our arms and hoping and reaching out and catching him. We've got to wait in absolute trust and submission, because those who wait will be caught. Those who wait will have strength. Those who wait will be renewed. Those who wait will walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not be faint. To pull something out before it's ready can be disastrous. For those of you who bake cookies and you pull those cookies out of the oven before they are ready, those cookies are useless, no good, must be thrown out. You must wait till the time is right. You must wait till the process is over. And then you will have some incredible cookies or whatever you're baking. And the obvious illustration is pregnant moms. By the time you get to month 9, by the time you get to month 10 even, both husband and wife are just like, man, I just want this baby to come out. I just want it to pop out. We're tired of waiting. but that could be disastrous. You know the problems with premature babies and births. It's got to stay there. It's got to mature in the womb. It's got to be ready before it can come out, before you receive the blessing of what you're waiting for. Sometimes we get ahead of God. We wait and nothing seems to happen. And so we panic. And so we try to work things out on ourselves. And so now we're flailing our arms and we're trying to catch God instead of waiting for him to catch us. Waiting is an art, and timing is everything. My prayer for us this morning, as I know that many of us are waiting for answers to prayer, but would you wait in hope and trust in knowing that God is preparing something for you, that God is getting it ready, and there's going to be a time when it's going to come to fruition. There's going to be a time where you will receive the blessings, because God's promises are yes and amen. They will come to pass. We just have to wait. And in the waiting, our soul expands. Our soul enlarges. We increase in faith. Do not be discouraged. Do not grow heavy-hearted. Do not be heavy laden. But know that if you hope in the Lord, you will renew your strength. May you find strength today as you wait upon him. Let's pray. This morning, I want us to maybe focus on the things that we're waiting for. What prayer are you asking God to answer, and what are you waiting for? Maybe you've been waiting a long time. Can you put your trust in him during the wait? And as you wait on him, can you renew your strength? Waiting is such a difficult thing to do. We live in a culture where everything is instant. But God isn't up in heaven saying, "Oh my goodness, I've got to move faster." God is not in heaven thinking, "Oh my, I've got to catch up with the times." Sometimes we have to go old school and just wait. For waiting is better. Waiting is good. We tell our son every day, "You've got to wait. You can't have it right now. You've got to wait, because if I give it to you now, you are going to grow progressively more impatient, more worse, more spoiled." Of course, he doesn't understand that. And so I just tell him, "You just got to wait, and you just got to trust Daddy. You just got to trust Daddy. We can't give it to you now. Just trust, and you will be a better man." What are you waiting for? You may not understand, but you've got to trust the Lord that you will become a better man, that you'll become a better woman in the waiting. Let's sing the song as we wait together.
Water, soul, soul.
maybe you are discouraged or tired. Maybe you're going through a difficult situation. But as we look at God's word, we know that it's going to come to a pass. And maybe as we pray, would it be interesting that we pray with excitement in our waiting instead of wondering, God, are you going to answer? But instead of wondering, praying with a different perspective, a biblical perspective, praying with the attitude, I'm praying, God, because I know you're going to answer. There's a total difference of just praying and throwing up prayers in the air, wondering if God is going to, versus what the Bible says, to pray with hope and trust and knowing that it will be answered. And so let's pray for our mission focus right now, for China, for the Chong family, for Matt and Nate's parents, for Leanne and the GTR kids, government churches, and especially for Pastor Sam Kim, his Beijing church plant, as he's already moved there. And so let's lift up China, and just as the Holy Spirit leads you to intercede for that, for our country, let's pray. Before we move on to the next topic, just a really short testimony from Chris Kim from North Korea last night. He's just sharing how there are people who are praying for him that he had no idea were praying for him, and it really got him through the difficult times. And here we are, we pray for our countries every morning, and just know that they are working, they help, they're powerful, they're important. So though it seems routine to us, let's understand that our prayers are sustaining the people that we are praying for. And so let's move on to our SP staff, our elder board, and missions committee, and let's ask God to really give them wisdom and understanding and guidance and leadership. And so let's lift up our SP staff and elder board and missions committee. Lift up Pastor Solomon and Febby Ministry and the Korean Church, and ask God to truly move and bring revival. Let's pray for just more growth and breakthrough in the Muslim community. And let's just pray for the Korean Church. Let's ask that God would grow them and use them in a powerful way for the Korean community here in Hong Kong. Let's lift them up today. Thank you. pray for our house churches as we're celebrating Thanksgiving week in our house churches. Let's ask the Lord to really bless the fellowship and the community, and just that there would be a sharing of hearts, that it would be life on life. So let's lift up the leaders and just lift up our house churches today. Father, we declare that it is with great joy that we wait upon you. God, it is with great joy that we renew our strength in you. God, that in you we can rise above the winds and soar like eagles. God, that we would run and not grow tired, that we would walk and not faint. Lord, we just thank you for that, God. And I pray that in the midst of waiting for answered prayer, God, that you would renew our strength today, that we would find our hope in you. And that knowing that you want success for us, God, and that you want to give us the promises that you have set before us, God. So we lift this time up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to leave this opportunity for you to pray on your own, and may God bless you as you spend time with the Lord this morning.